Good morning, everybody. Hey, glad you're here today. I hope you had a good week. I got to looking at our program. In fact, won't everybody pull out your program? Check that out, would you please? Check out your, be careful there, Ray. Don't want you to trip and go boom. Pull your program out. Check that thing out. I got to look at the program last week, and I thought to myself, man, look at all that stuff going on in the church. And we could spend the entire hour talking about the importance of everybody being involved in these activities. We're not going to go through them all, but we got Ladies Night Out. We got a Go to Love Kokomo Prep Night, Food Drive going on, Small Group Sign Up. There's a lot of stuff going on you need to know about, and we don't want you to miss anything because there are opportunities for you to worship, opportunities for you to serve. But the one thing I do want to point out is this. I'd like to point out Go Love Kokomo. We've been doing this on an annual basis for a number of years now, and we're involved in recruitments, in the recruitment stage of Go Love Kokomo right now, and we have a few more people signed up after last week of pushing it. We had about 45 people signed up for Go Love Kokomo. We have people who have never been to Go Love Kokomo who have signed up. People have been there for a number of years. They've signed up as well. But guess what? We need about 100 people to pull this thing off. And we only have about 50 people signed up. And so we need to have you sign up for Go Love Kokomo. I've talked to people who have said, hey, listen, we're going to sign up. We're going to be on there. Don't worry about it. I tell you what, I get this honestly from my mother. I'm a worrywart. I really am. I'm a worrywart. I see only 50 people signed up, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what do we have to cut out this year to reach out into our community? Because we don't want to do a Go Love Kokomo just have people pat us on the back. We want to do Go Love Kokomo to have people say, hey, look at what they're doing for Jesus. Look at Jesus. And so please make it a point. Go out there after the service is over. Sign up. We got a number of areas where we need a lot of help in. We need a lot of help in the very first one, Advantage Housing Outreach. If you can help with that, please sign up for that. We also need some help with Beautify 26. I didn't look at the number this morning, but we only had 2 people last week sign up, and that's one of the easiest ones to do, right? I mean, all you do is go pick up trash off the highway from 31 all the way out to 31 to 920 to 931. It's really, really easy. So sign up for that. We've also got the Go Love. We got Kokomo Rescue Mission. We've got Open Arms. We've got oil changes, free oil changes for single parents. We've got quite a few single parents in our congregation. They've signed up for it. And if you know of a single parent in your neighborhood, know of a single parent in your family, if you know of a single parent at work, let them know about this. In addition to that, we need some people to sign up to help change oil at Burnett's. It's just over here by the Heights, and it's a good service, a good place to have your car serviced. And so please make it a point, sign up to help, sign up people to get their oil changed. We need desperately people to sign up for that. So please make it a point to serve the Lord in that way on October 5th. Well, hey, listen, as you know, we are involved in our series right now that we're calling Samson. And in this series, what we're doing, we're looking at Samson from the Old Testament. And to say that he's an interesting character is an understatement. Samson led a pretty colorful life. His story is found in the book of Judges. He was one of the judges for God in the nation of Israel. And thankfully, I've gotten quite a bit of feedback from quite a few guys. And guys, you've said, hey, listen, you're really busting our chops, Coleman, come on. But at the same time, we're getting quite a bit out of it. I've had guys text me, I've had guys call me, I've had guys stop me after church is over just to say, hey, I really appreciate what you're saying. In addition to that, we've had gals have said, you know what, we're getting something out of this as well. And so I really appreciate your comments in that regard. We've got a few more weeks to go in Samson, and in a couple of weeks, on October 6th, we're going to be looking at Samson, and Samson, his cohort, or Samson's partner in crime, Samson's also known as Samson and Delilah. Exactly right. We're going to be looking at Samson and Delilah in a couple of weeks. We're going to have our preacher up here, but here's something that's going to be a little bit different about that Sunday. We're not only going to have a preacher up here, but we're also going to have a female voice up here, kind of talking, kind of dialoguing, having some conversation about Samson and Delilah. about some lessons men and women can learn from both of these people in this story. So you're not going to want to miss that Sunday here at Fairfield. So make sure you're here for that Sunday at Fairfield. And if you've not been here yet for the Samson series, you can catch up with it on our website. And let me bring you up to speed. If you've been out of town, but not been here so far, let me bring you up to speed when it comes to Samson. Samson, as I said, is found in the Old Testament, the Old Testament book of Judges. And Samson was actually called by God from before he was born to serve God, to deliver God's people from the oppressive rule of the Philistines. Samson was given some supernatural strength in order to do what God actually called him to do. And Samson, like so many guys, he had so much potential. And Samson gave it away time and time and time again. Now, in week one, we talked about three different attitudes Samson had. Three different attitudes that made this strong man really, really weak. And the first attitude he had was a bad attitude towards lust. Lust says, I want it. Lust says, I want it. And what he did, he pursued a Philistine woman, something he was forbidden to do. He was not to pursue another woman who did not worship the God of the universe, who worshiped false gods. And so he went ahead and pursued her. Now here's a second attitude that he had. It was a bad one. He had a bad attitude toward entitlement. And he pretty much said to himself, he pretty much said to the world, hey, listen, I deserve it. And a lot of people have that attitude today. I deserve the best. I deserve what the government wants to give me. I deserve this and I deserve that. And Samson went ahead and he went against his Nazarite vow and he touched something that was dead. And he said, you know what? I deserve it. Here's a third problem that he had. And the third problem was an attitude toward pride. He said to himself, you know what? Not only do I deserve it, not only do I want it, but you know what? I can handle it. He placed himself in a situation of his own doing. He placed himself in a situation where there was a lot of alcohol. It was flowing freely. And he placed himself in that situation and he said, I can handle it. Now, Satan loves. He loves to make strong men weak. But guess what God loves to do? God loves to make weak men strong. And so Samson said, I want it, I deserve it, and I can handle it. In week two, last week, we saw how Samson was emotion driven. Now, guys, we like to think to ourselves that, you know what, when it comes to this world, men and women, we are not emotional at all. We're not emotional. It's the women folk who are emotional, right? But guess what? Newsflash, guys, we're just as emotional as what women are. We really are. And we see that in Samson. He was emotion driven rather than being led by the Spirit of God. He really, really was. And here are two emotions that really tripped him up. And the two emotions trip us up as well as men. And those emotions are anger and pride. Anger and pride. In his emotion, he killed 1,000 Philistine men. And after killing those 1,000 Philistine men that we saw last week, he suddenly came to his senses in the middle of the desert, and he said, you know what? I think I'm in deep trouble right now. And he pretty much said to himself, I'm now public enemy number one of the Philistines. They're going to go full throttle after me. They're going to try to capture me. They're going to try to kill me. In fact, I might not even get that far. I might die out here in the middle of the desert of thirst and of exhaustion. I just might die out here. And here's the principle we didn't talk about last week. When a man or a woman, for that matter, when a man or a woman allows their deepest need to drive them to God, God will meet them in their deepest need. Think about that. If you allow your deepest need to drive you to God, God will meet your deepest need. And so here we have Samson. He's in the middle of the desert. He thinks he's dying of thirst, and he very well may be. He's totally and utterly exhausted. And look at the story. Let's pick it up in Judges 15, beginning in verse 19. Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, Here it is. When Samson drank, his strength returned and he revived. So the spring is called En Hakkor, and it is still there in Lehi. Samson, verse 20, Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Let's push pause for just a second. Verse 20 says, Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. 20 years. Apparently 20 years of faithful leadership. Apparently 20 years of leading the way God wants him to lead for the nation of Israel. And then after those 20 years, guess what happened? He messed up. He messed up after 20 years. I mean, he's on the right track doing everything he ought to do. He's doing 20 years of doing everything God wants him to do. And we will see just in a little bit how Samson is doing things so well, how he pretty much self-destructed. And again, he's doing it all right for God, and he's suddenly self-destructed. And we will see, and it's going to be really, really gross, but we will see at the end of the story with Samson, we'll see that he actually had his eyes gouged out. Stop and think about that. He had his eyes gouged out of his head. He was shackled with brass shackles. He was the laughing stock of the enemy, the Philistines. And we've got to ask the question, we've got to try to find an answer to it. How in the world could a man with so much strength, how in the world could a man with so much potential mess up his life so badly? And here's the answer. Samson didn't mess up his life. Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. He ruined his life one step at a time. That's how he did it. He ruined his life one step at a time, just like guys do today. I mean, guys, we mess our lives up just one step at a time. And I might add, ladies can do the same thing. I mean, Samson had 20 years, 20 good years under his belt. Let's go to Judges chapter 16. Look at verse 1. One day, Samson went down to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. Put the brakes on again, would you? He had 20 years. 20 years of good, faithful service according to the Bible. And according to the Bible, right there in this verse, according to this verse, it says one day. One day, Samson went down to Gaza. One day. And what I find really interesting is this. The story of David and Bathsheba, it started out the very same way. Did you know that? It started out of the very same way. One day when kings were supposed to be at war, David was there in the palace walking around, and he looked out from the top of the palace, and he saw Bathsheba bathing, and his eyes just bugged out of his head. Ahooga, ahooga. You know the cartoons, right? And serious, folks, serious, do you know how it started? One day. One day for Samson. One day for David that led him to an affair. It's just one day. In one day, guys can make the dumbest decisions. It just takes one day to start making bad decisions. And again, I might add, ladies too. It's not just guys. Just in one day, the downward spiral can begin. Check this out, verses 1 and 2. We'll go over verse 1 again. One day, Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, Samson's here. And so they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn, we're going to kill him. Hey, at dawn, when the sun comes up, we're going to do him in. Now, what's the significance here? The significance here is Gaza. I mean, you can go there to Israel today and just southeast of Jerusalem, you got the Gaza Strip. Back in the day, Gaza was the headquarters for the Philistines. The headquarters, leadership central. And here we've got Samson, the brain surgeon, Samson, the rocket scientist. He goes right down into leadership central to see this prostitute. I mean, how smart is that? How smart is that? He does it. He risks 20 years of faithfulness. I mean, who would walk 25 miles and risk 20 years of faithfulness? I mean, who would do that? Who would be stupid enough to do that, to risk so much for so little? I'll tell you who would do that, and his name is Samson. And I'll tell you who would do that. And they do it every single day. Guys do that. They risk a really good marriage, good integrity, a good job, a great ministry. Years and years of faithfulness at risk for a quick sexual hit. And again, ladies do it too. I have talked with couples through the years. And ladies do it as well as guys. I mean, he walked 25 miles. I got to thinking, how many steps are in 25 miles? Okay, if you figure a step is, I don't know, 2.5 feet, you know, for a normal guy, 2.5 feet, 3 feet from your heel to your toe. That's a step. I figured it up, 25 miles, that's 56,250 feet. He walked 56,250 feet to go to Gaza to see this lady. And how did he do it? How did he walk those 56,250 feet? He did it one step at a time. And what I find very, very interesting, as he was walking those 56,000 plus feet all the way to Gaza, he had 56,250 opportunities to turn around. And yet he did not turn around. He just kept on going the same direction. And get this. I really don't think men wake up one day and go, you know what? I'm going to mess my life up today. Yeah, I'm going to wake up and go, hey, I'm going to mess my life up today. I'm going to ruin my life today. Women, you don't do that, do you? No, we don't do that kind of thing. How do we do it? It starts very, very slowly. It starts with a conversation. Maybe a few text messages. Maybe a lunch hour. Maybe a lingering pat on the back. Maybe we're staying after work. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, how do we get there? We get there one step at a time. And you know, when it comes to finances, I don't know of any guy who wakes up one morning and go, you know what? I want to ruin myself financially. Yeah, that's what I'm going to start doing today, ruining myself financially. And so they start ruining themselves financially. And what I have found is this. I have found that a lot of guys, when they're in financial straits, they'll go, you know what? I think I need a new car. Sorry, Garrett, but I'm going to go buy a brand new car. I'm going to go buy a brand new truck. You know what? We need a new computer. Oh, you know what we need to do? We need to buy some more toys for our family. Oh, you know what? Let's go look at a house. I don't think guys wake up in the morning and go, you know what, let's do that. Oh, you know what, things are getting really, really tight financially, so I'm going to go to the casino because we need money. How bright is that? Or you know what, I know people who think that people who are self-employed are just rolling and rolling in money. That's not exactly true all the time. We've been there, done that, not exactly true all the time. But you know what? I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to be rolling in money. And if I start my own business and rolling in money, my life will be much better. What they don't realize, if they can't manage their own checkbook, what makes them think they can manage their business? How does that happen? It happens one step at a time. And one day he wakes up and he realizes he's in big trouble. How do we ruin our lives? One step at a time. Now this morning we're going to be looking at Samson, and we're going to be looking at three small steps that he takes to great big destruction. And the first small step he takes is this. Samson taunted his enemy. That's the first step he took. He taunted his enemy. Check out this next scripture, Judges chapter 16, verse 3. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up, took a hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and he carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. What's just happened? What happened is this. Samson, 56,250 steps to Gaza. He's spending the night with this lady of the evening, shall we say. And he wakes up in the middle of the night. He says to himself, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tear their city gates off the hinges. So he gets up, he goes out to the city gates, to the front of the city. He tears the city gates off their hinges, out of the door frames, and he lifts them to his shoulders, and then he takes them to the hill facing Hebron. Now you're thinking, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, it's a pretty big feat, but guess what? They're not hollow core doors, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Hollow core doors. It's the cheapies that you find at Lowe's and Menards and those big box places, right? No, these doors are heavy. These doors are huge and wide and thick, and they're solid wood. They've got iron on them as well. And the commentators will say, you know what? Those doors probably weighed in the neighborhood of about 700 pounds. And so he takes these doors, he carries them up the hill, and you're thinking, what's the big deal, right? Okay, he's strong. Here's the big deal. Back in the day, you had a wall around your city to protect yourself. Not only that, but you had gates to get in and out of the city. And if you took the gates, if you stole the gates, if you burned the gates, if you broke them down, that is saying that city is no longer secure. That city is no longer safe. Samson is telling these people, with me around, you're not safe. With me in this area, with me in this city, guess what? You're not safe at all. With me around, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be a lot of trouble. And so he taunts the enemy. Listen up, everybody. We all have an enemy. Every single one of us, we have an enemy whose mission is to kill, steal, and destroy everything that matters to God. Everything! And his name is Satan. And the Bible says that our enemy is looking for someone. He's looking for anyone to devour. Satan just doesn't want to wound you, but Satan actually wants to destroy you. And in spite of knowing what he wants to do to us, guess what we do every single day? We taunt Satan by putting ourselves into temptation over and over again. And how do we tempt the enemy? How do we tempt him? Oh, hey, listen. Let's go to the camper show this year. Oh, hey, listen, let's go to the suburban show. Let's go to the home show. Hey, let's go to the boat show. Hey, let's go here. Let's go there. We don't have any money to our name. We're up to debt to here. And guess what? We might come home with a brand new camper. We might come home with a brand new truck. We might come home with a brand new boat. Why are you tempting? Why are you taunting the enemy? Or how about this? There's this really cute guy at work. There's a really cute girl at work. You just had a huge blow up. I mean, World War III with your spouse. Hey, just got to work. What are you doing for lunch? Hey, listen, it's break time. I want to talk to you. Why are we taunting the enemy? Why in the world do we do that? Oh, that's just one little thing. Yeah, but you know what? It might be just one little thing, but it's a step in the wrong direction. You see, here's the deal. We think we're strong, don't we? I've heard it time and again. I sat in a staff meeting years and years ago when I was a youth pastor, and the preacher said, after a major figure in the Christian church fell from grace, if you will, he says, don't ever think it can't happen to you. And let me say that to you today. Don't ever think it can't happen to you. Just when you think you're strong, just when you think you've got everything going the right direction, check this scripture out. Paul said this to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is what Paul said. He said, if you think you're standing firm, what's the rest of it say? Let's read that together. Be careful that... Oh, I had five people up here say it. Do y'all not believe that? Let's read this whole verse together, church. So if you think you're standing firm, here it is. Be careful. Be careful that you don't fall. You see, Samson taunted the enemy, first of all. And the second thing he did is that he rationalized the same old sin. He rationalized the same old sin time and again. Do you remember what he did in week one? He went after a Philistine woman. You don't go after another person. You don't go after a Philistine woman if she, well, she obviously worships other gods. You don't do that. You don't go down that road. You see, and here we see him today. He's doing the very same thing again in chapter 16, verse 4. Check this out in verse 4. Sometime later, he fell in love. Sometime later, he fell in love. He fell in love. It's okay that they're not a Christian. We're in love. It's okay that they're of another faith that doesn't believe in Jesus. We're in love. It says here, sometime later he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Fellas, I am the first to say we are masters at rationalizing our sin. Hey man, come on, it's just my thing, you know? I'm a good guy. I just got this one thing I do. Just this one thing, that's all I do. I mean, I'm a good guy after all. I just got this one thing. It's just who I am. Or actually, I've heard this on plant floors. I've heard this on the plant floors. Hey, listen, nobody knows about it. And if nobody knows about it, it's not hurting anybody, right? And if nobody knows anything about it, what's the big deal? I've heard this in offices where I've worked, not church offices. I've heard this. Hey, listen, I just look at the menu. Yeah, I just look at the menu. I just look around at the girls. I just look at the menu. I don't order anything. No, don't get me wrong. I don't order anything. I just like to look at the menu. How do we ruin our lives? Thank you, Ray. How do we ruin our lives?
One step at a time.
Church, how do we ruin our lives?
One step at a
time. We ruin our lives one step at a time. Just one step at a time, and it leads us to ruin. We rationalize the same old sin time and again. Check out verse 5. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see, just see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. You know what they're doing? They're bribing the lady. Hey, here's the bait out here. And guess what she's doing? She's going, yeah, I'll take that bait. Yeah, I can be bought. You can bribe me. I can do it. In fact, you can read this whole thing for yourself if you want to. It's in 16, 6 through 14. I read through this whole story last night, Samson's story, 13, 14, 15, and 16. I read it in 10 minutes. You know, a few weeks ago, I challenged you. In fact, more than a few weeks ago, I challenged all of you to read through the New Testament by the end of the year. And in doing so, all you had to do was read two chapters a day. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as to how many are still doing it. I know a few of you are. But are you still doing that? Here's something else. You can sit down for 10 minutes. During halftime this afternoon, you can sit down for 10 minutes and read through Samson's story. Can you do that? I'm sure you can. And so they bribed the lady. They bribed the lady. And they said, hey, listen, get Samson to tell you the secret of his strength. And so she went to him, and she sweet-talked him. He said, hey, listen, here's the secret. Just tie me up with these seven straps, and guess what? I'll be as weak as any other man. So she ties him up with seven straps. He falls asleep. After he falls asleep and he's tied up, she yells at him. She says, hey, Samson, the Philistines are here. And he wakes up and he breaks the straps. Pretty much he's saying, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, tricked ya, right? And she's ticked off. You lied to me. How could you do something like that? I thought you loved me. Please tell me the secret now. And so he says, okay, okay, here's the secret. Here's what it really is. He said, if you tie me up with ropes, brand new ropes, if you tie me up, I won't have any strength whatsoever. And so that's what she does. He falls asleep. Samson, the Philistines are here. He wakes up. Boom. He breaks free. She's ticked off even more now. Come on, you got to tell me. You got to tell me. Okay, okay, here it is. The secret's in my hair. And he's getting closer to it, but he's not quite there yet. He says, if you braid my hair into this loom, if you braid my hair into this fabric and then use this pin to tighten everything up, then I'll be as weak as every other man on the face of the earth. She does it. He breaks free. It doesn't work. She is royally ticked off by now. She says, you don't love me. You lied to me again. Let's pick it up in chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you've made me a fool and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. Man, it looks like nagging might be a biblical thing. I'm not so sure it's a good biblical thing. Let's move on quickly, shall we? My wife's sitting right up here. And by the way, I need to add this. She does not nag, okay? She does not nag me. I might be the person who's in the family who's the nagging person, okay? Verse 17, let's move on very quickly before I shook my shoe in my mouth. So he told her everything, and here it is. No razor has ever been used on my head. He said, because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb, from before I was born. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. He said, hey, listen, Delilah, I have been set aside for the work of God from before the time I was born. From before the time I was born. And it seems like that Samson is remembering for just a brief moment, who he's created to be. Let me ask you guys. Who were you created to be, fellas? Who did God create you to be? Ladies, who did God create you to be? Understand, God did not put you on this earth just to take up space. Understand, God did not put you on this earth just to take up a little bit of real estate. God put you on this planet specifically for a purpose. God put you on this planet for a reason. God put you on this planet to make an impact for Him. Where you live, where you work, where you dine, where you play. God put you on this planet for a reason, to make an impact. Are you making that impact for Him? I mean, it's like Samson suddenly having this flashback. He's remembering why God put him on the planet. Verse 19. After putting him to sleep on her lap, that's Delilah. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the seven braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. His strength left him. How often do we battle against Satan in our own strength? And we don't even think about it. It doesn't even cross our mind to tap into the power and the strength of God when we go to battle. Did he mess up his life all at once? No. How'd he do it? He messed up his life one step at a time. He taunted the enemy. He rationalized the sin. And here's something else that's very important. He assumed that his disobedience would never, ever cost him. My disobedience won't have consequences. My disobedience of God to God won't have any consequences whatsoever. Guess what? Every time you do something wrong, you're going to have consequences either now or later. Pay me now or pay me later. That's what it is. He assumed that his disobedience would never cost him. And how often do we think the very same thing? It's not going to cost me. Verse 20. Then she called. Then Delilah called out, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and he thought, "I'll go out as I did before. Hey, same old song. I'll do it just like I did before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Samson had no idea. He didn't have a clue that things had changed. There may be a time in your life when you got away with it. In fact, for some of you, there may have been many times in your life when you've gotten away with it. Husbands, wives, you've gotten away with it. And every single time you went to your spouse and you got on your knees right in front of them and you begged them for forgiveness, you said, "Hey, listen, I don't know what I was doing. I am so sorry. I messed things up for us. I know I've done it again and again, and please forgive me. Please forgive me." You might shed some tears, but please forgive me. And every single time they say, "Oh, okay, okay, okay." You sweet talked them, right? There's coming a day when that won't work anymore. There's coming a day when your spouse will go, "You know what? That's enough. We have reached the end of the road. No more chances." And maybe it's not your spouse. Maybe it's your kids. I got a friend of mine from high school. Her dad just died. She couldn't care any less that her dad just died. He was that kind of an abusive man. They used to be neighbors of ours. He used to leave. Bruises on his wife's arms. Black eyes every so often. She stuck with him. The kids couldn't care any less about the man. There may come a day when your kids will go, "You know what? I don't have anything to do with you at all." Maybe it's your job. I don't know. You know, you call in sick. Everybody sees you around town because, well, you're not really sick. Word gets back to your supervisor. "Hey, heard. Oh, man, I was on the way to the doctor," or, "Oh, man, I had to go out because the wife's sick too," or, "Hey, man, because blah, 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 blah." There's going to come a day when that's not going to work anymore. Or maybe at lunch hour you might do a line, smoke some weed. Maybe you come to work drunk. And the boss is saying, "Hey, listen, yeah, I'll let it pass. But there will come a day when he will say, when she will say, "That's enough. No more. We're done." Finally, Samson's sin took over his life. And that can happen to us. Finally, there may be one day when our sin will take us over. You see, eventually that will happen. Verse 21, "Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza." Wow. They took control of the man. They probably had to hold him down, don't you think? Or maybe against the wall, and they gouged his eyes out. And then they took him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze shackles, and then they set him to grinding grain in the prison. Most likely one of these great big huge stone wheels. You know, they'll tie an animal to it. You've probably seen it in the movies, or maybe you've seen it in history books. And the animal's, you know, going around in a circle. Instead of the animal, it's Samson. Eyes gouged out, no strength whatsoever, and he's grinding grain like an animal in a prison. This man who's a judge, who's a leader in Israel. And how did he get there? He got there one step at a time. And here's the deal. I want you to be really honest with yourselves this morning. I mean, be really, really honest. Are you stepping away from God? Are you? Are you stepping away from God? For some of you, you might be at step one. Step two, maybe. Step three, maybe. I don't know. And for some of you, you might be at 56,249. You got one more step that'll send you over the edge. Just one more step. Maybe you don't spend any time whatsoever in God's Word. Remember I challenged you, a couple months ago? Read through the New Testament, two chapters a day. That's all it is. That's all it is. Two chapters a day. Are you in God's Word? Maybe you're not even talking to God. Maybe you're not praying. Listen, I know you get busy. I get super, super busy. And there will be days I get to the end of the day and I'm going, I haven't talked to God. I'm a pastor. What's up with that? Are you talking to God? Are you? Are you in His Word? Are you allowing Him to talk back to you? Are you? And for you, maybe that's not it. You know, maybe on the outside you look like a Samson. Maybe on the outside you look really, really strong, like a strong Christian. You got the long hair and everything, right? Just got my hair cut this last week. No long hair anymore. Oh, you look great. You look really, really strong. You got that long Nazarite look to you. Oh, you're a godly person, everybody thinks. But inside, you're so far away from God, it's not even funny. And like I was getting ready to say, maybe it's not prayer. Maybe it's not God's Word. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's lust for another person. Or maybe it's lust for that stuff, that house, in that neighborhood. Man, it's that car I've always wanted. Dude, I can get it brand new. I can get it financed. Or maybe for you it's greed. Apathy? Who cares? Laziness? I don't care. I don't want to do anything. Maybe it's pride, entitlement, anger. Answer this question for me, would you? And don't answer it out loud, but answer it to yourself. Answer the question, where are you stepping away from God? Where is it? You see, here's the truth. You're only as strong as you are honest with yourself. Think about it. Write that down. You're only as strong as you are honest. You think on that for a couple of days. You're only as strong as you are honest. Where are you stepping away from God? What should you do? Where are you stepping away from God? And the thing of it is, when you identify that place, and it's probably not that difficult, when you identify the place where you're stepping away from God, what should you do? You're stepping away from God. You know what you should do? You should just simply turn around. It's that easy. It's not tough. Turn around. It's not too late. I have talked with countless numbers of people through the years, and they say, Lynn, I can't come back. Lynn, I can't come back. And you know what? Through the strength of the Holy and the power of the Holy Spirit, through the strength that we find on the cross, you know what? They did come back, and they have come back, and they're staying faithful to Him for years and years and years. It's never too late. And here's the thing too. When you turn around, guess who's going to be waiting for you? When you turn around, God's going to be waiting for you. God's going to be waiting for you. You may have burned the bridges with your family. You may have burned the bridges with your spouse. You may have burned the bridges with your employer. But guess what? You've not burned the bridge with God. He'll be waiting for you. I mean, that's what happened to Samson. Look at verse 22. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Samson had been publicly humiliated, publicly, physically abused, gouging his eyes out. Publicly humiliated, shamed, no hair, no strength. His lack of hair says to the world, says to the community, you know what? This man is in direct disobedience of the God of the universe, his God. But what I find amazing in this chapter, in this verse, is that God included these words. His hair began to grow again. And God is saying to Samson, I'm still with you. And God is saying to you, I'm with you. You may have turned your back on me, but I've not turned my back on you. I've not abandoned you. You've still got purpose. You've still got meaning. You've still got a reason to get up out of bed every single morning. And even though a righteous man falls, guess what he does? He gets up again. That's how good God is. That's how good God is. Satan loves to make strong men weak. God loves, simply loves to make weak men strong again. And that only happens through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That only happens, and it seems really, really weird. It really does. It seems weird. But it happens through the cross. It happens through the cross. There's a guy whose name is Jesus who hung on that cross and he died for you. He died. He sacrificed his body. His blood flowed out of his body to cover over your sins. When that blood is washed away, guess what? It's like you're a newborn baby. We got a newborn baby right here. It's like a newborn baby, as innocent as a pure driven snow. That's what you are when you come to Christ. And every single week, we talk about the cross in one way or another, but we talk about the cross every single week when it comes to communion. We talk about the cross because the cross is so very important to our faith. It's where Jesus sacrificed his body. He sacrificed his blood for our sins. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We don't deserve it at all. But because of Jesus, we have the opportunity. You see, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine as well. And every single week in communion, we talk about that. We look at that and we go, thank you, God, for everything that you've done for us. We're going to be having communion here in a little bit. The trays are going to be passed. The trays have cups in them, two cups, one stacked upon the other. The bottom cup has the bread. The top cup has the juice. You take both. And after you take both, you think about your life. Where am I messing up? Where have I stepped away? Where do I need to shore up my life? You think about it, you pray about it, you meditate on it, and you say, thank you, God, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you so much. Here's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 about Jesus and about the cross. He said, Christ suffered for you. Jesus Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might not that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For you were straying like sheep. We, you and me both, we were straying like sheep, but we've now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And so this morning, when we take communion, let's thank God. Let's thank God for His sacrifice of His Son. Let's thank Him for Jesus. Let's thank the Lord Jesus that He has willingly given His life for our sins, that we might have eternal life. And so when you take the communion, the bread and the juice, you remember His body, you remember His blood, and you remember the fact that He didn't stay dead on the cross. He walked out of the tomb some 3 days later. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this opportunity today to be here. And God, we don't deserve your love. But God, in spite of that, you have lavished, you have lavished your love upon us. And God, we're grateful for that. God, we're grateful for the cross. God, we're grateful for the sacrifice that was made there on our behalf. God, we don't have to pay for our sins. Jesus did that on the cross, and we thank you for that. And God, I pray today that as we have looked at Samson's life and we can see where Samson's messed up, God, maybe that'll cause us to remember where we've messed up, even this week. And God, we pray for forgiveness. God, we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit to give us strength to do a better job this week. And God, may it be our goal to bring a smile to your face. God, we take communion now. We take our communion now, not forgetting what you've done for us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's take communion together, shall we?